following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 221, recorded on Thursday, June 8th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig. Anessa Moyens is on assignment. Coming up, how radioactive decay could support extraterrestrial life, and Neil Blomkamp's new trailer teases series of sci-fi films. Those stories, plus the sighting and our picks and warnings. Before all that, though, our question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
We got the new Star Trek series premiering this fall, Star Trek Discovery. So Star Trek's going to be on a lot of people's minds in the next few months. So what is your favorite Trek alien and why, Brad Ludwig?
I am going to go with the Tholians.
Ooh.
Yeah, because they are an energy-based being, so they didn't get the... You know, they didn't slap ears on somebody, didn't put blue makeup on them. They were just a floating suit, essentially. But they were excellent space navigators. That was their big thing, as I recall.
And that was different for Trek, having a race of beings that wasn't humanoid, right?
Correct.
And I wonder if they're going to do more of those type aliens with the new show, just because... The technology has advanced a lot, even since the last show. So I wonder if they're going to kind of expand on the look and the anatomy of the aliens.
Yeah, that would be very interesting, because the the cost for special effects has really gone down. And there is more that people are capable of doing with the computers that are available now. So they can... They can do pretty spectacular. I mean, look at The Flash, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's a television show that probably doesn't have a huge budget, but they've been able, even from, you know, episode one, to be able to put together some really nice effects and not spend a fortune on it. So there's a lot of possibility to be had, for sure.
One could argue, though, with the Star Trek thing, you know, that episode of The Next Generation where they talked about how we're all... from one species. So that could discourage them to expand with the look of aliens. If you want to stay with that line of reasoning.
You know, yeah, well, you raise a good point. You definitely raise a good point. It really kind of depends on how much they want to stick with old canon. I mean, if they really want to stick to it, if they want to start over, they have the possibilities to do some other very interesting things.
I'm going to go with, as my favorite alien, the Borg. And it's great because the Borgs, just one. The Borg race is made up of a bunch of different races.
Sure.
And they have mechanical parts. They're augmented with technology. So they're coming from... different species and making a whole new species. Plus, I mean, who could resist the Borg? Huh? Get it?
Yeah.
In the news.
So here is an interesting story that I found at sciencedaily.com, and through a bit of kind of out-of-the-box thinking, some scientists figured out that there's another way that they can determine if a planet may be able to support life. And this is water-based planets, and there's a reason why that's important, or ice-based. So here we go. The title of the article is How Radioactive Decay Could Support Extraterrestrial Life. In the icy bodies around our solar system, radiation emitted from rocky cores could break up water molecules and support hydrogen-eating microbes. To address this cosmic possibility, a team modeled a natural water cracking process called radiolysis. Then they applied the model to several worlds with known or suspected interior oceans, including Saturn's moon Encladius. Encladius, I always get that wrong. Jupiter's moon Europa, Pluto, and its moon Charon, as well as the dwarf planet Ceres. The key finding of the study is that radiolysis represents a potentially important additional source of molecular hydrogen. While hydrothermal activity can produce considerable quantities of hydrogen in porous rocks, often found under seafloors, radiolysis could produce copious amounts as well. Radiolysis may also contribute to the potential habitability of ocean worlds in another way. In addition to molecular hydrogen, it produces oxygen compounds that can react with certain minerals in the core to create sulfates, which is a food source for some kinds of microorganisms. The quote here from Alexis Bouquet: radiolysis in ocean world's outer core could be fundamental in supporting life. Because mixtures of water and rock are everywhere in the outer solar system, this insight increases the odds of abundant habitable real estate out there. And this study was published in the May edition of Astrophysical Journal Letters. So there you have it. They've got another weapon in their arsenal for identifying planets that may support forms of life.
You know, I love science, but sometimes I don't understand it. And that was, and that's the case in this one. I don't understand what you just said.
Some of the important bits that can contribute to supporting life is the ability for the creation of hydrogen, and in this case as well, oxygen, to create some of these compounds. So if you have these free-floating hydrogen, free-floating oxygen, I mean, think of it this way. Ferrous metals rust because oxygen kind of combines with the iron, okay? So there needs to be free extra stuff for it to be able to react to and create other bits. So in this case, being able to have extra bits of hydrogen, extra bits of oxygen means it can combine with other things and actually produce other useful things like food.
Hmm.
Other important building blocks of things that, as we understand life needing, if these are freely available, then it is possible for life to exist there.
Okay. I understand it now.
I'm not an astrophysicist or an astrobiologist by any means, but that's my takeaway from reading this. And if it's not accurate, hey, contact us at aliens@gncast.com and tell me I am horribly wrong. I'm more than willing to better understand this if I am wrong. But that's just my takeaway, if I'm understanding it correctly.
It sounds right. The explanation that you gave sounds right to me.
Well, hopefully it is accurate. Just because it has a sense of truthiness to it doesn't mean it is accurate, as Stephen Colbert has taught us.
Well, it's all about the delivery, right?
There is that as well.
If it sounds convincing, then you're on the right track, I guess.
Fair enough.
This is why I pick the fluff stories. This is why I pick the entertainment. Hey, Neil Blomkamp is not making Alien 5 anymore. Let's talk about that. Because there's not there's not as much explanation involved. All right. Well, thank you very much. You either made me smarter or feel dumber tonight.
Well, hopefully we both learned something very important in our search for alien life.
Well, the more tools in the toolbox, the better off we're going to be, and the sooner we're going to find extraterrestrial life somewhere out there. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com, or call our voicemail number, Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
So, Brad, it's been, I think, about a month since we recorded last. How you doing? What's been going on in your neck of the woods, in your world?
Well, let's see. Yesterday was the last day of school, so Alex is now done with school for the year. And next year he will be at the senior high and he will be a sophomore. Where does the time
go? Yeah, time goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does. It's crazy. It feels like just yesterday, he was just going to kindergarten. He just started. And, obviously time passes. But it's just one of those things where you kind of stop and take stock of where you are right now and where you've been. And you just realize that that flow of time, you hope that we only get one shot at this as far as we know. Mm-hmm. And you hope that you spent that time in a worthwhile fashion. And I have a feeling that with all the memories that I have of things that I've done with Alex and Anessa, I feel like I've accomplished things. And, that time has passed and it's been a good time. So
I haven't been a father for that long. Like, it's been a little over 3 years since I married my wife and became a stepfather.
But
My wife. Every time. But it seems like only yesterday where Layla was like a kid. Now she's driving, she's got a job, she's going to prom tomorrow. So,
oh my.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. Time goes by fast. It's like what? No, this like next year she's going to be in grade 12 and graduating. So yeah. It's weird. It's really weird.
I wrote a letter of thanks to Alex's special ed teacher. My mother was an English teacher, and she taught high school level English. And she also got stuck doing the yearbook. And this is in the 80s. So because we actually had my grandfather's enlarger, this is back in the days before there was digital cameras. My mom, we created a makeshift, a dark room in our laundry room, and she developed black and white film, and she did all the camera work. She, enlarged all the pictures, got all the pictures ready and sent into the company that did the yearbooks. And she every weekend she was working on that. And I don't think that the average person really realizes how much work goes into basically they're raising your child when they are not in your home. And that's a great deal of trust that you have to give to those people. And, I don't think that they get to hear enough that they do a good job. Mm-hmm. And I feel that Alex's especially his special ed teacher has been truly wonderful. And we came into the school partway, just a little ways into the school year for eighth grade with his mom's passing. So, it was just like she had no warning and it was like all of a sudden, poof, here we are. And, there was a bit of learning Alex and his, idiosyncrasies and how he communicates. And, there was a lot that went into it. And he's done amazing. He's thrived in that environment. And I just wanted to make sure that she knew that it was appreciated. So that's what I did Wednesday. Yeah, yesterday I wrote that little letter to her and I haven't heard back. So I don't know if she's gotten it yet. It went to her, obviously her teacher email account. And with yesterday being the last day, I'm not sure when she's going to check it. So who knows?
Well, I'm sure when she does read it, she will appreciate it and she'll probably start tearing up a little bit.
Well, that wasn't necessarily the point. I just, I try to live by a code of give credit where credit is due. And there's a saying, always try to catch people doing good things. we as a people find it very easy to complain about things, but making sure that you find the good and commenting on the good and letting people know that that good that's being done is seen and appreciated, I think is important to everybody. And I try to make sure that that I do that every opportunity I can. So I felt that that was, I just had to do that. So
that's why you're one of the good ones, Brad.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's just where my head is at.
From Nerdist.com, Neil Blomkamp's proposed Alien 5 movie is now officially dead.
No!
Yes, stupid Ridley Scott. But that doesn't mean the director is finished with sci-fi. Far from it. In fact, for a few months, Blomkamp has teased his next project without revealing any specifics about what it would be. That changed recently when he dropped a teaser trailer for Oats Studio One, a new series of short films, short sci-fi films. What an odd name. Oats Studios Volume One.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. He's South African. You know, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, looking at the work that he did with District 9, you know that whatever he's going to do is going to be really unique. So,
and judging from the trailer, it is. The clip, which I'm talking about, paints a picture of a devastating alien invasion that's apparently left Earth at the mercy of lizard-like aliens and Paris overrun by vegetation. The female narrator hints that the invaders came to exterminate humanity and that the only choice is to adapt or die. I'm guessing that the vegetation has something to do with the lizard-like aliens, because, you know, lizards like vegetation, right? They're,
Well, you'd think so.
Yeah. Well, I could be wrong. I don't know. According to The Verge, Oats Studio is his attempt to create a new outlet for some of his ideas. Sounds like Neil is just bursting with ideas. It seems like, because he came up with that cool concept for Alien 5.
Sure.
On the set of Chappie, that movie he did with Sigourney Weaver, that's where they came up with the idea. Those two. Putting together a series of short films that will be released online for free. Apparently, it's going to be available. These are going to be available on YouTube for free. And then Steam, you can purchase them with extra content.
Hmm.
It's an attempt to see if one or more will gain some traction online. The hope is that the studio can be used to experiment with ideas that can later be scaled into feature films, much like a short film Alive in Joburg, which was turned into District 9. It's not entirely...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I always forget about that, that was a real groundbreaking short film before it was made into a feature film. You forget where these directors come from. You know, like that the director of Wonder Woman. She's only done a couple of big feature films before this one, and nothing even close to the action-packed film that Wonder Woman is. It's not entirely clear when the short films will be available to stream, but Blomkamp says it will be soon. So when you get a chance, check out that teaser. Looks pretty cool. It's neat that we're going to be able to experience the mind of Neil Blomkamp for free.
I'm looking forward to it.
It would be neat if, like, this would turn into, like, a anthology series. And this makes sense in the recent, I don't know, landscape of sci-fi. You see a lot more of these Twilight Zone, Outer Limits type shows that have been on recently.
Sure, yeah.
And this sounds like you have Black Mirror, right? That would be
yep.
Along those same lines. So it this makes sense that he's doing something similar.
Yeah, that seems to be his right in his wheelhouse. So that means it'll be done and done well.
Mm-hmm. And it's breaking new ground because it's not going to be available on traditional channels. He's going to YouTube and he's going to Steam. So that's neat that he's attempting something different, something out of the ordinary. And maybe they'll be, you know, more cutting edge, more extreme, maybe, because they're available in those areas?
No, possibly. Sure.
Maybe he can do more there than he would on a Netflix or a Hulu.
Maybe. Yeah. Some more. You mean like narratively more adult?
Yeah.
Not pornographic, but
Yeah.
Themes.
Yeah.
As it were. Okay. Yeah, no. I could see that being a definite. But if you don't hold an allegiance to anybody else or their rules, you're free to do a lot of things.
Yep, exactly.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
Please identify the craft you witness.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects. Flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was on circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, it's time for our sighting segment, where we talk about somebody saw something in the sky on the ground that suspiciously looks like an alien craft of some kind, like an extraterrestrial object, not of this world. And Brad, it was your turn to bring a sighting of this show. So what do you got?
And I went to the MUFON website.
Thank you for pronouncing that correctly.
Thank you, David Duchovny. A witness traveling by train through Apache County reported watching and photographing six hovering two-story objects beaming light to the ground level, according to testimony in case 83376 from the Mutual UFO Network. The case was reported for the witness, who had the experience on April 14th of 2017. So,
oh, this is 2 months ago.
Yeah, this is very, very recent. The quote here, "My mother was traveling through the Arizona desert via train on her way to Texas. She was unable to sleep due to movement of the train. She said she was looking out the cabin window and saw a very bright light that became brighter as the train approached."
Whoa.
There is a photo. We will have the link in the show notes so that you can actually take a look at that picture and see.
Do you want to describe it, Brad?
The picture that we have access to, it looks like you're seeing this object that is, it's lit, and it looks like you're seeing it from the underside. It's a distance off, and you're seeing it from the underside, and it looks like a C, a literal letter C of light. You're not seeing a full circle. You're seeing a part of it. There's no light. So it looks actually like a flattened C that's sitting on its back.
It also looks like an old telephone receiver handset, upside down, sort of.
Yeah, I could see that. Back in the days when people used landlines. it's very strange, very interesting.
All right, this is cool. The picture looks intriguing. Like it looks like there's either clouds or mist. That could also be like they were trying to zoom, like a digital zoom, right?
Yeah, this definitely looks like it's a digital zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a bit grainy. This was taken at night, so you've got that bit of the camera is trying to figure out the light level, so the black is kind of a mottled gray. and it could be from augmenting the image too. It's hard to say, but yeah, it is grainy, like it has been shot from a distance. And of course, you know, the story says that she shot it on a train heading to Texas. So there's a bit of movement that's probably involved in there too, which doesn't help.
I believe this is our first sighting from a train.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you are absolutely right.
Next sighting from a boat.
Oh. From a hovercraft.
Yes. From a tricycle. From a big wheel.
From a green machine.
Yes. Oh. My childhood all over
there
again.
There we go. There was a time when there... No, never mind. Green machine. Look it up on Wikipedia.
Banana seat. Remember those? Yeah. Banana seats?
Oh, I had, yes. Yes. I definitely had one of those.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Elts Nerds. Now, what are the Elts Nerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockety, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at eltsnerds.com.
Watching, reading, playing, listening, making...
Okay, these are things that we have watched, listened to, read, played, made, all...
Rubbed on our faces.
Yes.
Wait, no, not rubbed on our faces. That's just weird.
Well, it can be, as long as it's related to extraterrestrials or aliens in some way. Maybe some extraterrestrial cologne or moisturizer.
It's made from people.
All right, Brad. So you're up first. What did you have? What you got? What do you got?
I have a strong suspicion that this is something you've seen as well, Dave Nelson.
You're probably right.
It is the season finale of Supergirl.
Yes.
So when the episode starts, the Daxamites have not all been killed. They have appeared on Earth, and they are going to take over the Earth so that they can have a planet again. And they will all have some form of superpowers, which is very appealing. We do get some wrap-up and return of characters that we haven't seen for a while, which was very interesting. And we absolutely 100% know where Mon-El's allegiances lie, and his love for Supergirl is very true.
And he pays the price.
He does. He does.
We should probably back up and say spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. The thing to know about the Daxamites, and it is touched upon in earlier episodes, is that much like the Kryptonians cannot deal with kryptonite, Daxamites are very susceptible to lead. So, the solution for getting the Daxamites off the planet is to get lead particulates into the atmosphere of the world, which, as much as we know that lead is not good for us, and they didn't put that much lead in the air, but just enough to make Daxamites very uncomfortable when they breathe the air. It still feels kind of icky, especially after what we know that the lead levels in Flint, Michigan, that's kind of a touchy subject for many people. Anyways, that is the plan. In order to rid the world of the Daxamites, they have to put lead in the air, but that means that Mon-El can no longer stay on the Earth. So, there is a weighing of options because that is unacceptable to some folks, and they reach a conclusion. And the very ending, I don't want to give it away, but I do want to tease the fact that the very ending opens the door wide for having the Legion of Superheroes appear next season. The Legion of Superheroes is a 31st century superhero team.
Oh, I forgot Yeah. Okay.
Depending on which version of the DC universe, that timeline we want to follow, Mon-El was very critical for the formation of the Legion of Superheroes. Once they had pulled Superman, after Crisis on Infinite Earths, they reset everything, and Superman did not come to Earth until 1986. So the original formation of the Legion of Superheroes happened during the time of Superboy. And with this new continuity, there was no Superboy. Superman did not get his powers until much later in life. And so all of that was wiped out. So they needed to find a new way to make that happen. And how they did it is they, Mon-El became the stand-in for Superman of sorts. He had these incredible powers, and he was trapped in the Phantom Zone for 1,000 years, which is how he gets to the 31st century. And he is crucial for putting together the Legion of Superheroes. So we've seen the Legion of Superheroes ring teased in season 1 and again season 2 of Supergirl. So there had to be some thought given to that.
What was the tease in season 1? I forget.
You get to see the ring. We saw the ring when she went to the Fortress of Solitude. They kind of go as they're browsing, you know, kind of panning around the fortress. You get to see the ring.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
And we see it again in season 2. So, and Berlanti being the uber comic book nerd that he is, to tease those things and not do something with it. And I'm not saying start a, you know, Legion of Superheroes show or anything like that, but probably have a couple of heroes come from the future to make an appearance. So I have a feeling that we might see that in season 3 of Supergirl. So.
Okay, refresh my memory. How did the last scene was Mon-El floating in space? Was that the last scene?
Yes, he was heavy spoilers here. If you don't want to know how the episode ended, nope, that's fine. As long as people are fully aware that I'm going to give away the last little key bit. And Anessa didn't really quite catch it, and I pointed it out, is that as the spaceship is floating, because he had to leave the Earth. He couldn't stay and breathe the air anymore. As he's in the Kryptonian ship and flying from Earth, a portal opens to the Phantom Zone. That was the Phantom Zone portal.
Okay.
Tear opened in the Phantom Zone, and he got pulled in.
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yes.
Neat.
So that opened, like I said, if he's stuck in the Phantom Zone for 4,000 years. And this is merely conjecture on my part. Obviously there hasn't been any talk from Berlanti and the rest of the writers about that, but they introduce Mon-El, they throw him in the Phantom Zone, and we've seen the Legion of Superhero rings teased a couple of times. So that's to me, that says that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably right. Cool. I'm looking forward to season 3 of not only Supergirl, but all the shows, including, do you watch Gotham?
I do not.
Okay. Because they had an excellent season finale.
You know, I've heard good things about it, but I couldn't get through season 1.
Yeah. Season 1 was rough. Season 2 was better. The season 3, this season that's just wrapping up, was the best so far. And they've gotten as close as they have to actual Batman in the season finale. So I think we're going to see the heroes. Season 2 was definitely about villains, and I think season 3 is going to be more about the heroes.
Okay.
So it's I love the show for the fact that it's crazy town. It's like it's uber violent, uber over the top. Just like, it's almost like 1966 Batman, but serious. Like in the way they present it, but then it's got the feeling of the Dark Knight too. they introduced Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, in the season finale, spoiler. And it's played by Alexander Siddig, who we know from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Dr. Bashir.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Bashir. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's an amazing actor, and that's cool.
Yeah, he was great. In the very short time he was in the episode. So I'm guessing that he's going to be back next season in a more full-time capacity.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so there you go. You got two picks in one. We got some serious comic book talk there.
Boom.
All right.
For more comic book talk, you can always check out the Else Nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of Galactic Network, I want to throw in something real quick before we move on to my pick and warning. And we are looking for somebody to work on our social media channels. And what we're looking for is somebody who is passionate about not only social media like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, but somebody that's into what we talk about, like sci-fi, horror, gaming, comic books, paranormal, all that kind of stuff. And it's can't afford to pay you, but... If you are looking for experience running, you know, a brand's social media stuff, we would love to hear from you. You can email contact@gncasts.com. That's contact@gncasts.com. And if you're a longtime listener of this podcast and you ever wanted to be on any of our network podcasts, this might be a way to get on the shows as well. We wouldn't just leave you just doing the social media. You know, if you are interested in coming on the podcasts, that we'd be cool with that as well. So again, contact@gncasts.com if you're interested in becoming our social media manager. Oh, I forgot to ask you, how many flying saucers are you giving the season finale of Supergirl?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. See, we're gone for a month and I forget the flying saucer rule. You know what? I would give it a good four and a half stars.
Oh, okay. High praise. High praise indeed.
You know, they brought back some folks who have been a part of the Superman shows over the years. And it's very cool that Terry Hatcher got a chance to come back.
Terry Hatcher and Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Linda Carter, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing too. Linda Carter's character is a Derlin, and Derlins are actually one of the Legion of Superhero characters is a Derlin, an alien from Derla, a shapeshifter like her.
Oh,
so
cool. All right. Another possible hint that they are on the way. They're coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so my pick is an episode of American Experience on PBS that focuses on the radio play War of the Worlds. And I watched this on Netflix on the plane to go back to Minnesota back in May. It's one of those things. I downloaded it from Netflix. I'd never done that before. That's cool. It's really cool. They don't have everything available for download, but they've got a good collection, a good selection of stuff that you can download. So the episode includes a series of black and white reports based on eyewitnesses from people who allegedly were fooled by the broadcast. We're talking about... What's his name? I'm blanking on his name right now. It's here somewhere.
Sean Kelly?
No. The narrator.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. Sorry. So we're talking about the Mercury Theater on the Air. Was that the name of their?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which Orson Welles led. He directed it. He narrated it. And it was his springboard to get into filmmaking. And one of the things they touch on is, you know, maybe he did this to get into films. Like it was maybe his kind of way of getting attention that Hollywood would pay attention and hire him to do what he really wanted to do, was which was films.
Well, he did pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read to you the synopsis, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. So the night of October 30th, 1938, and by the way, this fits in perfectly with the last episode of The Alien Invasion. I think my pick had something to do with, I think it was a short film. It was a short film based on the night of the War of the Worlds. So it's kind of a continuation from last time. I thought that was a neat segue. Anyways, so it began as any other peaceful Sunday evening with millions of listeners tuned into their radios. Yet the outward calm hit a nation tense with apprehension. The Great Depression refused to let up, and the threat of war in Europe loomed larger every day. Then, at 8:15, there was a report on the radio that Martians had landed in New Jersey. Almost instantly, people listening in responded to the shocking news. Newspapers were flooded with calls from worried listeners, and many feared that New Jersey had been laid to waste and that the Martians were heading west. In cities and towns throughout the country, people stopped a moment to pray, then grabbed their loved ones and fled into the night. What began as a broadcast performance of H.G. Wells' fantasy, The War of the Worlds, turned into one of the biggest mass hysteria events in U.S. history, although I did read another article that said this documentary kind of maybe overblew that a little bit, that the hype wasn't as much as the media was saying. And I've heard that before. I've read that before. That
yep.
That people weren't as freaked out as has been reported throughout the years. American Experience examines the elements that together created this frenzy, including our longtime fascination with life on Mars, the emergence of radio as a powerful medium, and the creative wunderkind Orson Welles, the 23-year-old director of the drama and mischief maker supreme. So they cover they cover all the stuff that led up to it, like I said in the description, Mars was really a hot topic. Like, I think there was an astrophysicist or a astronomer that I think a telescope had recently been put up, and we saw our first pictures of the actual Martian, like from the not from the ground, but we could see the canals, what we thought
yep.
were canals. So people were very interested in maybe there was life on Mars, you know. So people genuinely thought that there were Martians out there. And also they mentioned how the Martians were kind of like a surrogate for the Nazis or the Japanese, because all that stuff was starting to heat up. So we were kind of on edge as it was. As to begin with, we were already, you know, kind of worried about invasion by humans. So this people were ready to pop. It was a cool, fascinating look into everything that was put into it and all the results from it. So I would highly recommend it. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 flying saucers.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be on your Netflix, or we'll put a link in the show notes to the Amazon link, and you can purchase it for probably $1.99 or something like that. And
a little
bit of that will come our way through the link that we'll have in the show notes. So in review, we had the season finale of Supergirl, plus a little tease of Gotham for you, and American Experience, War of the Worlds. Those are your picks and warnings.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or
that's
anywhere
podcasts are
offered.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for providing our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. Find out more about him at soundcloud.com/monkeywarhol. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song, Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net, thecaravel.net. Also, thanks to Ben Olson.
Ben!
For recording our disclaimer audio at the very start of the episode. BenOlson.com for more about him. So, final thoughts. Brad, anything? What you got?
You know, I'm really thinking that we need to see Alien Covenant.
You'd think, being the co-host of an Alien podcast, that, well, not just co-host, me as well, we should both actually go see that.
I own Prometheus and I have not watched it yet. So I really need to get on that before we see that. So,
okay. Well, I think you could probably see Alien Covenant without seeing Prometheus. I think they're separate enough that you don't really need to see the one before the other, I think. But it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's the case.
Okay. I'm gonna wait until it's in our cheap theater. We have a theater downtown that's, you know, I forget, it's like $5 or something like that. It's pretty cheap. So I'm gonna wait, see it there, and then we'll both talk about it. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCAST.com.